This episode goes out to all those people who know and will speak the truth when they say it. It also goes out to our good friend Billy Swift, who passed away recently, leaving some great memories for the travelling mags across the region. Cheers, Swifty, you old Robin cunt.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Away, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Welcome to the last instalment of the Seats podcast for the 2012-2013 season. We are your sou'wester wearing, kraken hunting, salad avoiding hosts, Gazza, Matty and Robbo. Buongiorno.
Hola.
Evening.
How do folks? Welcome back to the Seats podcast. We hope this podcast finds you fit and well. If you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin.
Can I start?
You can.
What's a sou'wester?
It's them plastic things that sailors wear. The yellow things.
Mac.
Well,
a yellow one.
Well, yeah, but a proper name's like the sou'wester.
Good. Carry on.
Right, I think we should begin at the end. So, we've had some...
Eh?
Well, if you let us finish, Matthew, before interrupting.
We're going to have to talk about football.
We are, unfortunately. Just for a little bit.
Do we have to?
So, the last time we did the podcast, I think it was before the Benfica match away. And since then, we've had some pretty diabolical games of football. And if you look at the last kind of, I would say the last six, seven games, starting with the Fulham game in early April to the QPR game last weekend, you're not looking at you're not looking at a Brazil 1970 type performance in any of those.
I'm pretty fucking depressed already, actually.
So I will
just mention that.
So you know, you're looking at the 94th minute winner against Fulham, up to the 2-1 win last weekend at QPR. But between there, you've obviously got the game we should have won at West Ham and the thumping of us by the Magums and Liverpool. So, lads, what do you make to the end of the season? Other than the obvious term, which is shite. How do you feel about the end of the season?
Just glad it's fucking finished. To be fair.
Yep. That's the only redeeming feature of the season.
Apart from
it's nearly finished.
Apart from a couple of European trips which we managed to fit in, which was, you know, a nice sort of diversion, really. But it's been shit. So,
do you think that's exactly what it was? I know when I wrote that article back in the early part of the season about Europe potentially being a diversion for fans, take the kind of focus away from the league, it all became terribly clear when we got knocked out of Benfica. What we're facing, obviously, we had the European, I think it was kind of a part tactical issue and European hangover when we met the Magums. Everyone was kind of thinking we'd walk away from that game easily, you know, winning it easily, and we got beat. So, I mean, how do you feel about the European part of the season? Is it? Do you think that was the major cause of the season?
Not for me. No, I think it's just it's an easy excuse. Half the team didn't play in any of the European games. The Bens played and the reserves played, and I just think it's a lazy excuse to blame that for the poor performances. Spurs haven't been shit.
Yeah, Chelsea
haven't been shit. Exactly. Now, right, they've got slightly bigger squads, but I wouldn't say their squads for the relative position in the table are that much stronger than ours are.
I'm
when
sure
you look at it relatively, though.
Sure, yeah. Somebody was saying, like, Matt Earl was his, like, 62nd game or something like that.
Frank Lampard has played 50 games or more 10 times now for Chelsea in a season. And we've got players who've played, like, 25 and 26 complaining they're tired. That's bullshit as far as I'm concerned.
It's either bullshit or there's something severely wrong coaching-wise or conditioning-wise.
There's got to be something there, because how many injuries have we actually had? Where even it could have been, like, one or two games or coming down with a knock or anything like that. It's frustrating because we've never been able to put our best team out. But at the same time, that's not an excuse. And I think, personally, and I think we chatted about this the other day, the reason that we got it so wrong in the Cups this year, apart from the Europa League, is because of Pardew's insistence on actually replacing the entire team for those games instead of bringing in one or two players here and there. And then those one or two players that did come in would get the experience, and then when we needed them in the league, they would come in and be used to it. But instead, he swapped the entire team out, and look what happened to Brighton.
I was going to say, Brighton was the prime example of that. What an absolute travesty of a performance.
Well, that was for me, that was the worst game of the season. That includes the Sunderland game. And Liverpool, just by the way we actually played. I think the tiredness thing, I think, is a bit of a smokescreen, but when you look at the likes of, you look at the likes of Kabay is a good example of where you look at someone and they do look. I don't know if it's a tiredness thing or a, you know, he's got his mind on other things. You know, he potentially move or, but there were certain players who did look tired.
Mentally tired, I think you're right, and I think that's not necessarily down to the amount of games or anything like that. I think there's people, you can see it, who are just pissed off with the football we're playing and the fact that their skills and their abilities are just being bypassed completely. Kabay being a good example, he's not a holding midfield player, so why is he playing there? Why does he play as a fifth centre-half?
Yeah.
A fifth defender, third centre-half. He looks sick of playing football for this team in the way that he's playing at the minute.
Well, the same with Sissoko. I mean, look at the way he made an impact in January, and then Pardew's decided to play him as a number 10, and he said it himself, he's not a number 10. He doesn't play a number 10 for France. He's never played number 10 for Toulouse, and basically just being played out of position. What's the point? He's a deep-lying midfielder.
That's what I expected, a box-to-box midfielder, like a Vieira type when he was at Arsenal. Not a fucking right winger or whatever the hell he's been trying to play him as.
But wasn't that in the Liverpool game he put him on the right wing? Fucking
and look what happened.
Mental.
I've just got to look at Cissé when they were putting him out wide.
What, to accommodate Demba Ba, who left anyhow.
And now Cissé doesn't look like a centre-forward either.
Wait,
he looks like a striker. Like an attacking. I don't know. He's not a. You can't play him up front on his own. He needs a partner.
Well, you can, but you can't when you just fucking lump. When Kabay's lumping the ball from a fucking fifth centre back position.
Ah, it's the wrong kind of passing.
All you've got to do is look at the game against West Brom in the first half. Kabay was playing a lot further forward, and he slipped like Gouffran and Cissé through probably about three or four times through balls.
How do you fix that? Do you get somebody in? And what kind of do you get somebody in who is more of a kind of a Bellamy, or do you get a big centre half to hit the ball to if you're going to play that kind of football?
Just how stop playing that type of fucking football.
Well,
I think you're still going to need somebody, aren't you?
I think we could do with somebody different up front. I think we could do with a Carroll type. Personally, Andy Carroll, I would go for. I'll bring him back.
So that's kind of more of a big target centre forward rather than a kind of, a muse that would, dribble and get the ball in a box, kind of a George Kinkladze or, Bellamy type effort.
Just a way of mixing it up a bit, that's what we don't have at the minute.
Options.
Game changer. So,
when we're struggling against a team who's easily defending the football on the deck, we don't have any way of being any more direct. When we do go really direct, it's pointless because we're.
Well, we do, but
man, who can't do that?
We've got Shola when we want to go direct, and we all know how fucking effective that is.
The tumbleweed there.
So what we're saying is, it doesn't really matter what style of football you play. Still going to say to play the same team, if you will, which is dangerous. And I think we've been found out in a few games where we've done that. So, but what about the towards the the kind of, I suppose, the last few games of the season, you tend to hear a lot of people saying we're only a one-half team. You know, we could only perform for one-half. And that's why I think, you know, the QPR game, we had to go in on top to even have a chance of winning that game. Because that game was, I don't know if you watched the game, but that game was the same. It was more, you know, we played quite well direct. Yeah, there was a few, you know, Probert made some bad decisions, but I thought we were much better in the first half than we were in the second half.
Well, I thought, to be honest, for the first 15 minutes, I thought we were fucking awful. First 15 minutes, we just seemed to be getting torn apart by them. They were on the game, and I was thinking, Christ, this is us in the single biggest game we're going to have all season, and probably for a few years, and we were that shite. Then, we got a penalty out of nowhere. We got the equaliser, and then we dominated the rest of that half.
I think a lot of that, well, my opinion is, I think a lot of that was down to, you know, there's a lot of pressure on them, because I think, I read in some parts of the media, you know, we were, well, perceive it if you want, but I think we were the biggest team in the relegation scrap, and I think, you know, you have to realise as well that teams is quite, you know, relatively new. You know, a lot of those guys haven't experienced that sort of stuff before, so I can understand why the nerves kicked in, and you could see it from the kick-off. You could see they were very nervous. Obviously, QPR wanted to go out on a high, even though there was only in front of 17,000 fans, but I was quite pleased to weather the storm. A lot of teams do that. As you say, there was two very dodgy penalties. I thought ours was more clear-cut than theirs. But I thought we did all right, but, I mean, do you think that's been a problem all season, the kind of two halves?
Well, I think it sounds mental, but it's been said plenty of times before, but confidence. You know, winning breeds confidence, doesn't it? So even you could see at the weekend when we got that, Hatton scored that cracking pen, like, the team started playing football. They were pinging it about nicely, and it just, you could see the confidence come back a little bit, and that's why we played well in the rest of the first half.
It makes you wonder what Pardew says to players at half time, though. Because there's been a lot of times, especially at home, we've had a good first 45 minutes, played pretty well. You know, maybe not took our chances, but we've been playing pretty well. But then everybody around at half time, you can hear people saying, I hope that wasn't my good 45 minutes out the window. And then they come back out and they're a fucking shambles and they're setting off. And you wonder what on earth's being said. What is going on in the dressing room that turns them from a good team playing decent football, just maybe not taking their chances, to just being a total and utter shambles?
We're talking about the two halves. It's always been that second half. It's always been the poor half. And, I mean, there's been some games where we have obviously played poorly throughout, but you're right. The games where we have, you know, it used to be, especially at St. James, we had a good few seasons where we used to play poorly at the beginning and then come back. You know, there was a season we'd done the most in the league, I think. 10 or 11 times we'd come from behind to win. You're right, I mean.
But it wasn't until the Southampton game, was it? Or the Chelsea game, sorry, that we'd come from behind and won a game under Pardew.
Oh, it was Chelsea.
Aye.
And then we did it two games in a row. And then we'd just obviously done it again at the weekend. But that's another statistic that's worrying, because you kind of get the impression when we go behind, that's it, game over. Especially against teams that are perceived as being bigger or better than we are. We go a goal down to, like, Arsenal, Man U, Chelsea, Liverpool, we just get dicked.
It doesn't fill you with confidence, but I think, I mean, what do you think the mindset is at the club now? Do you think it is they realise where they've made mistakes? I mean, you know, there was some inkling that held their hands up and said, yeah, you know, we left it too late to buy players. We didn't strengthen the squad. You know, they relied on a lot of first-season players to get them into a situation where we could potentially go for Europe again. But, I'm going to say Europe. Europe was kind of a sideswipe, and it did take a lot of the deflection away. I'm going to say that did, you know, Not ruin the season, the league season, but it certainly didn't help. I mean, I know I appreciate that a lot of people went away. And we actually gave Europe a good crack, you know. And we were one goal away from making the semis. And I think the way Fenerbahce played, we would have had an actual decent chance to make the final, should we have gotten the semis. And you've seen how Benfica played on last night. And I think we could have give somebody a game. You know, these are cup finals, one-off games where we could do that. So I'm not going to say it as a really shitty season, because it wasn't. You know, it did have its highlights, but I'm disappointed, and I'd like to think that the club has learned some lessons. I mean, what do you think the mindset of the club is now? Get some more players. You know, how do you think the club's going to approach next season?
As a club and the whole management board level, everything like that, I think they've been a bit naive. We've talked about this before, and it's a learning experience for them as a club as well. I know they've got other teams who've done it, but as far as the current chairman and owner and manager, really, it's the first time that they've been involved in a European competition as well as the league. So,
and I think they were let down a bit by some of the young players that they thought were going to come through this season. The likes of Ferguson, Sammy, Vukic, obviously he's been injured quite a lot, Tavernier. I think all of these players, they expected to come through and do better than they did, and I think that's what, in January, they realised it wasn't happening, and they've been, you know, they had to go and do something about it. And I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword as well, because the fans really want to see, I mean, if you're anything like me, you want to see a lot of players come through the academy, you want to see them getting into the first team. But then you also want to make sure that the club's got strength and depth. And when you think of strength and depth, you don't think of the young players.
Not at the minute, no. I mean, I know Ferguson went on loan at Birmingham, and apparently he was tearing it up, really. And he came on quite a bit. But whether that'll translate to the Premier League, I don't know.
I just think that they weren't as good as they hoped they were, or thought they were going to be. And it backfired.
There's the important thing you have to remember with academy players is, obviously, this weekend is a good example, with Scholes retiring, Beckham retiring, you know, Giggs is will probably call it a day at some point within the next year or so. The thing you have to remember is, when you're relying on young players, you do need that, still that core of good, solid, you know, timely pros in the team, so they'll learn from them, and that's why academy players come on. I think sometimes, particularly in some instances, you've seen it, you know, the likes of Campbell, know, getting thrown in situations, you know, do your best, son. And it's like, hang on a second, should you really be putting this kind of pressure on players when, you know, you need to win a game and you're asking these players to win games? I'm sorry, but I think, you know, Pardew got a lot of things wrong. But, you know, he can't be held responsible for a lot of the stuff with regards to the young players.
No, and I agree with that, but like I said earlier on, it comes back to the fact that he put too many of them in at the same time when he didn't have to.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think it ruined their confidence as well. Some of those cup games where, Brighton, we got absolutely dicked, were pathetic. I think we weren't all that great in the League Cup. In fact, I can't even remember who knocked out the League Cup now. That must have been that forgettable. Anybody? You remember who knocked out the League Cup?
Manu.
4-3. 3-2.
3-2
the knockout.
3-2.
3-2,
aye.
The
Old Trafford.
Oh, shit.
I see
him
with that header, and then with the
let you off because it was very early in the season as well.
It just goes to show how forgettable this season's been. I can't even remember what happened 3 and 4 games ago.
Well, they had their young players out at the time.
But you shouldn't throw that many in. I think we played quite a few of them, if I recall. But the FA Cup one specifically. In the early rounds of the Europa League as well. That could have went massively tits up. That could have backfired spectacularly, and it nearly did a couple of times.
Yeah, well, the Maritimo game over
Maritimo, a Tromitos.
let's get ourselves a footing before we start to do that. But
so, what do you think the young players are learning from that? They can't be learning much. They would learn more by being one or two of a team of 11 with 9 other seasoned pros in there. Man, you wouldn't go out. I mean, I suppose they're an exception, Arsenal as well, because the youth players have got. Have probably been hoovered up from all the best teams in the world. But like teams who consistently bring through young players, you don't see them throwing them all in without some kind of experienced heads around them, like you've said.
The only kind of example really is that you've seen where there's a load of youth players is probably Arsenal in early stages of cup competitions.
But like the thing with Arsenal is they don't have a leader in their first team.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of...
They're still not necessarily a whole team of kids, but, you know...
They're a bit odd at Arsenal, though, in that the kids will always look brilliant. But then when they finally make it into the first team, they'll look out of their depth, like, at league level. And yet when they play in the Cups, they're brilliant.
I mean, you're talking about other teams. I mean, Arsenal's the kind of team where, you know, you mentioned it before, confidence. When those young lads are full of confidence, you know, they will beat good teams. But when they get found out, you know, playing again, you know, Wet Wednesday and Stoke, and you know, playing the likes of Wigan last season, you know, they got found out because, you know, they were in the faces. So when they're playing, when Arsenal play well, like they, you know, when they dick dust down at the Emirates, when they're playing well and they're higher confidence, the Arsenal will beat anybody. The problem they've got is they, as a team, the whole team rationale is quite frail, I think. And when they do get hit, it kind of takes them a while to, you know, in a game it kind of hits them harder than most of the other teams that are usually up there. So I think so. I would say so. I mean, oh yeah. They're looking at other people. That was the problem with the Newcastle team. They were looking at one another to do that kind of role when you know they should have actively been saying, "Look, I'll do that." The problem is, I think we had that issue is because, like you said before, a lot of the people were playing out of position, and you got the feeling that the guys actually didn't know what they were supposed to do as well in some games. So they're looking at each other saying, "Well, hang on. Fucking hell, you should have picked that up." I wasn't supposed to be playing there, do you know what I mean?
You saw Colo absolutely screaming at them on Sunday at one point. I've never seen him do that before, but it kind of gave him a bit of a kick up the arse, which...
But if you look at it, if a player looks like they haven't got a clue what's going on the pitch, is that their fault, or is that the fault of the manager?
I think it's got to be both. Would really
you pin the blame on?
It's got to be both. I mean, the manager has to give the direction to the team, but if you're a professional and you don't know what you're doing, you should be asking, or you should be saying, you know, what am I doing? So I think, but ultimately it has to fall, like you know, I had this conversation with somebody recently, you know, why don't players get fired? Well, ultimately a player is in a, it's not like you know, you're playing the sport by yourself, you're in a team. That's why players sometimes they get fired, obviously for misdemeanors, let's say, off the pitch. But you know, your player wouldn't get fired for a bad performance on the pitch, whereas the manager has to be held responsible for that.
Because they're an asset, not an employee.
So it's a tricky one, and I think it is. it is. Sorry, Gary's having a bit of, he's having issues with his technical issues with his mic there. So
basically, you're hearing silence where there would be me speaking.
You might be able to hear it if you listen really closely.
So I'll do a bit of jiggery.
You can guess what Gary was saying by the responses. But anyway, one thing when you're talking about Colo is, did Colo have a beard without a tash at QPR?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I always find that quite sinister.
I thought the sun was just really strong and it was just a really bad shadow.
Did you not think you had like a ginger tash and a darker beard, and in the sun you couldn't see it?
That's you?
Eh?
That's you?
What do you mean?
The ginger beard, darker tash. Can't see it in the sun.
Talk at all. I've got a
Johnny Cash.
Ginger, is it?
It's kind of ginger.
I've actually had a shave recently, so... Anyway, we're moving on.
Die what?
Die head. So I mean, the season, don't really want to talk about it anymore. What's gone?
It's been shit. The one thing we need to talk about, the elephant in the room, the Sunderland game. That was woeful. I can't think of a single redeeming feature of that game.
It was terrible. However, what I will say is,
it wasn't as bad as Liverpool.
They absolutely 100% deserved to win it, but what would have happened if it went ones each?
And that's it. If I recall correctly, me and you had a right tiff after the game because of this.
Well, yes, because you were pissed. But
you were blaming officials' decisions, and I just wouldn't let it happen. I was like, they were too shit to even blame the officials.
Well, they were shit, but...
They were so bad that I couldn't even be asked to blame a referee for how shit we were.
When a scoreline gets equaled, it you know, in a game like that, you can turn it.
You're totally 100%. Right, but I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let the linesman or the referee take the blame for that fucking awful
performance. No, you couldn't. I mean, the ref obviously has a hand in it. What you're saying there is, it's all ifs and buts. Like the Cheltenham Gold Cup this year, there was a young horse, and it was flying up the hill, and it fell, and everyone was saying, well, it would have won. You just don't know. That's the point. I think the thing you've got to take from the Sunderland game is...
The thing is, not falling over is a key part of winning a horse race.
No, but do you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
But if it stayed on its feet, do you know that if that had penalty had been given, or the goal had been given...
Didn't know, did it? That's the key thing here, is that horse fell over.
So if your auntie had balls, should be your uncle.
You get the analogy, is what I'm saying, but...
No, you're right, and kind of what I'm saying there as well is... We didn't win because we were shit. And part and parcel of not being shit is scoring more goals than the opposition, and we didn't do that. In fact, we didn't even score one.
You know the worst part about it for me, right?
Well, we did.
The worst part of the derby was, right, everybody was so confident that we were going to beat them. I thought we were going to do them. And everyone was talking about it. They're actually, you know, you got the feeling people had already realised that they were going to win. And then for that to happen, I mean, it was kind of a... It wasn't really a shell shock, because as you say, I think Sunderland were the better team on the day. We mentioned it, I think, in the last podcast, or we definitely discussed it. You know, they're taking the risk on De Canio. It worked. Now, you can say they survived because of others' ineptitude, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, they survived, and so did we. And at the end, you know, we weren't as bad as the other teams that got relegated. We've stayed up. Do you really want to have a post-mortem on it? Possibly not. You probably want to realise why you're down there, but not, you know, why did we not get relegated? I think that's pretty simple. The fact is, Reading was shite, QPR was shite. I think in a normal season, both of us would have probably, you know, a normal Premier League season points wise, would have probably both been looking at the drop, because the, you know, I think it was somebody had mentioned, you know, we wouldn't get more than 40 points, you know, in some seasons that I'm sorry, but that's curtains. So it was. It was good for them. That game was probably the game that kept them up. For us, the Fulham game is the one that stands out for me.
Yep.
On the run-in, the one that, you know, the 94th minute. That's fucking... Stoke. I mean, we did it a few times, but that was our key game.
Stoke as well, I thought, like... Because that was a little bit earlier on. If we hadn't won that against Stoke...
As the table kind of stands, if you take away the points that we got at the weekend, the kind of... That Fulham game would have seen was safe. If, you know...
Yeah.
If the things play out well, the way
they
are.
If we hadn't got dicked off Sunderland, more ifs and buts, but they would have basically been relegated by now.
Aye, that's true.
There's other games in there. I mean, look, after the Fulham game, we played the Backmans, West Brom, Liverpool, West Ham, and QPR. And we got 1 point before the QPR game.
So was Liverpool the worst performance you've ever seen? I think I said at the time it was possibly the worst performance I'd ever seen by any team in any sport in history. It was that bad.
I've seen a lot worse performances from other teams before, but
I'm struggling to think
that
of
was
any.
That was the worst I've ever seen from Newcastle. Or
the circumstance, the players that played the game, the supposed difference in the team shouldn't be that much. We finished higher than last season. Given all of that, that is as bad and as pathetic a performance as you will ever see. And if I was Ashley, not just because I can't stand Pardew, but he would have been out the door from the spot after that.
Agreed. But I still rate, I think it was when we played Man U, it was either relegation season or the season before. And we got beat 6-1, was it? Or 6-0 or something like that at their place.
It was 0-0 at half time.
Was that when Nigel Pearson was in charge or something? That was worse in my book.
But
when you're at home, it's obviously amplified.
The problem with that Liverpool game as well is that the way we got dicked in the second half played exactly into Pardew's hands, because he wanted to try and keep it tight in the first half. It didn't really work. Well, it didn't work at all. But we were 2-0 down, and then he changed it up to try and get ourselves back in the game. And then for 5 minutes, we looked dangerous straight after half time. And then they got the third goal, and that was the whole change became pointless.
What I couldn't understand, though, is why wait until half time and not after we went 2-0 down to make that change. Because if you go in 2-1 at the break, you manage to claw a goal back, it's different again. But
and all that. He might be a bit of a favourite with people, but I think De Bushy's been rank average since he signed.
Well, Coligini was shit in his first season, wasn't he? So.
No, he was, but there's people after two or three games talking about him being one of the best right backs in the league and all that, and people going, oh, the only reason we were so shite in the first half of the season is because we didn't sign De Bushy, and pinning all of what all of our woes on the fact that Simpson was playing. He hasn't been as much of a step up from Simpson as people would like to think.
No, he hasn't. I think it's dangerous to rate players in the current team, I think, in the way they stand. I think what you do need to give to certain players is the benefit of the doubt for that first season. You know, we've done it with other players. You know, you've just got to look at Gutierrez and Colo and a few others. So
I just think he seems to have been like a pin-up boy for why we failed in the summer. Everybody's saying, well, if we just signed Tapusi, well, we got him in January. We've been just as bad with these new players as we were without them. Which I think says a lot about this supposed excuse of tiredness and all that shit. Because there's players who've come in supposedly to make things better. And we've been just as bad with them as we were without them.
They just haven't, so... Anyway.
That's enough about football.
Well, it's done. Let's talk about
novelty things.
Hang on, there's one thing I do want to talk about. In this one, and it's Wigan Athletic.
So Wigan Pathetic.
So we after the last, was it, I can't remember if we talked about the last podcast, but I'm sure we didn't. We didn't talk about that tackle. We didn't talk about the Wigan Cosmos episode. We didn't talk, but we haven't obviously talked about the FA Cup win. We haven't talked about the drop. Obviously, they've been relegated since, so.
It's all happening for Wigan, isn't it?
What I mean, you know, people. I'm not people say, "Well, Wigan." Do you know Wigan have won more trophies in their Premier League history than Arsenal have in the past 8 years? And that was something that somebody mentioned. Well, we haven't won shit, so we can't say shit about any team. But
I think we're in a perfect position to talk about teams not winning trophies.
Yeah, but not not on the front foot, anyway.
So hang on, we haven't won any either, so we're the perfect position to comment.
So Wigan have dropped, QPR have gone, Reading have gone. So, what do you make of the situation at Wigan? What do you think is going to happen with Martinez there?
I think he'll go. I think somebody will come in from possibly Everton. I'd have him at Newcastle. I'd have him here.
Yeah.
Just because his brand of football is the type of football that I like to watch, and I think it's the type of football that would probably get the best out of what we've got as well.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got some good passing footballers, you know, and we don't use them. I'm sure Martinez would get the ball down on the floor. If you can get the best out of Sean Maloney and Aruna Kone and them two people called MacArthur and all them other clowns, there's some dude called Matt Manaman, and if you can get all of them, put them together and win an FA Cup, then I think you could do pretty well with some of the players we've got.
Will it be missed?
No.
Unanimous no. Well, the town, I've been there a couple of times, obviously, for the game, but, you know, it's all, what, canals, dog shit, it's and shopping trolley.
So, I won't miss the annual digging down at their place. Like,
hang on, we've got to go to Hull, so can we not just replace fucking Wigan with Hull?
Equally as shit, isn't it?
Except they've got Steve Bruce in charge, which makes it even worse when you lose. The thought of losing to a Steve Bruce team again. Might say again, we didn't lose to one last time, did we?
Did we lose when he was at Wigan?
Probably we always lose to Wigan. As we've already said.
I think we did, I think we did. So, Cardiff. What do you make Cardiff coming up? Happy, not happy?
Cardiff getting promoted was one of the only bonuses of possibly getting relegated. So we wouldn't have to go and play those bastards in their city.
I suppose that someone was saying it was the lowest league points in a good while, the championships, and the championship was the tightest. Some people saying it was the shittest championship in 10 years.
Man, you've got more points in the Premier League than Cardiff got in the 46, championship.
46 games.
It's unusual for that to happen.
And I think the top scorer was on 9 or something like that.
I mean, we ended up with what, 101 or something when we got promoted.
Reading ended up with 100 plus as well when they got promoted.
104.
They've done it a couple of times, haven't they?
Yeah. So anyway, so we're going to be playing Cardiff and Hull, and hopefully. Oh, sorry. Potentially, Watford or Palace. Now, the thing is, people don't like Holloway, but I like, you know, I watched that playoff game, the second leg of
Brighton.
I thought Palace were pretty good.
All horrible, shitty teams.
No, but if you had to choose one, Watford or Palace?
Palace for me, simply because they haven't got all those players on loan for me.
Is Simon Jordan still there?
I don't
there,
like
German.
The way Watford have done that.
No, I don't think he is now.
Is he not? Probably them then.
And Peter Ramage is there.
Aye, Peter Ramage
is there. Peter Ramage.
And Wilfried Zaha is moving his knee.
He was part of the worst defence in the world.
Thing with Crystal Palace though, is if they don't go up, Holloway's bound to kick off about the loan situation, isn't he? It's inevitable.
Well, yeah.
That's what he does. But then he needs to remember that they basically sold their best player for a massive fee and then loaned him back again the second he signed for the rest of the season. So that's equally as bad.
Double standards and all that.
Anyway, but just wait for that to happen. It's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, we'll find out soon enough when the fixtures come out. So one of the things obviously just mentioned there was Wigan, and we mentioned at the start of the podcast, Billy Swift passed away recently. So it wouldn't be the same for me going to Wigan if it wasn't with Swifty. Yeah. So
going down to one of those North West games
with Swifty.
Do you have a memory? Do you have a favourite memory of Swifty's?
Actually, my favourite, I think, is when we played Bolton on the first day of the season with...
under Allardyce, is it?
Under Allardyce, and Martin scored the... Martin scored the overhead kick from like a yard out. We'd been in Chorley, me and a friend of mine and a few others, we'd been in Chorley very early in the morning. All it involved was a rubber axe chasing some people from charities, dance off in the local furniture shop, things like that. So
Chorley's always involved, isn't it?
Poor Chorley. I think the council had actually said no more fucking Newcastle fans are coming to this town. But in all seriousness, you know, Swifty was a character, and he was one of those characters that people talk about, you know, old, the older characters that people always have fondness for, despite, you know, they did have maybe have another side of them. But I always enjoyed my trip. So
we went down to Blackburn once. Obviously stopping Chorley as usual, but I'm not sure if you
were. I was with you, man.
Is this the one when the bus kept breaking down?
Aye, and then smashed into the back of a people carrier.
That's right. The bus, it was a bit like a shit version of Speed. If it went below about 10 mile an hour, it would stall. So the bus driver was basically just driving straight over the top of roundabouts, fucking junctions.
Straight into
and everything.
The back of people carriers.
Couldn't slow it down properly, so he just drove into the back of a people carrier.
Is that another Chorley episode where people end up playing snooker with their Scotch eggs?
That was, the pub that we went in Chorley, man, I think we went to the same place virtually every time we went in the northwest. But they would very nicely put a bit of bait on, you know, they would cover the pool table up with a big bit of wood and that, put some sausage rolls and all that out, but put some Scotch eggs out as well. So the lads took it upon themselves to get the Scotch eggs, get the thing off the pool table, just started playing pool with Scotch eggs. Then they were just fucking.
Is that when
the place was a total wreck?
The barmaid dwarf took that lad out by his ear.
It was like a comedy situation of a holding this guy's ear who's about twice her height and high in a mood.
Well, one of the lads who used to go on the buses, on Swifty's buses, apparently.
Reg Varney.
No, it's his name's Chris.
So not Reg Varney then.
Fuck off. I think Swifty's daughter or something has asked him to continue on the buses.
Yeah,
Swifty's,
I think somebody's
got children.
Somebody's continuing the Swifty tradition, I think, doing the buses. So.
The legacy lives on. It
wouldn't just be the same, you know, with them all coming down and blagging Merry Downsider off you. And
then saying it was all bottles. Nikon's bottles.
But anyway. So rest in peace, Swifty. Things won't be the same without you.
One by one, we're gonna stand up with pride. One that can't be denied. Stand up, stand up. From the highest mountain valley low, we'll join together with hearts of gold. Now the children of the world can see this is a better place for us to be. The place in which we were born, so neglected and torn apart. Every woman, every man, join the caravan of love. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Everybody take a stand. Join the caravan of love. Stand up, stand up, stand up. I'm your brother. I'm your brother, don't you know?
Welcome back. All right, that's the football done. Well, yay, kind of. Before we do the Twitter questions, of which there are a few, one question I did want to ask is Wonga. All over the, obviously going to be all over the new shirts. Had a little bit of a pop at the club on Twitter for, it wasn't really the Wonga piece, although I'm not advertising loan shark companies, but it's just the fact that the Puma shirts are shit. They've got them stick on badges, the 50 quid, the flammable, the everything that is tat about modern football.
I agree. And Wonga, you know what, without getting into all the bollocks about Wonga, does it make it clear how much you pay back and how much you'll pay back if you don't pay back in time? The worst thing about it is that it's a fucking horrible looking logo on the front of your shirt.
And it's Wonga.
It looks tacky as fuck. And you only wonder why good companies won't touch with a barge pole. It all started by getting involved with shit companies in the first place. The brand's ruined.
Fit the fucking skids.
The company, the football club's brand is fucking ruined, isn't it, from a commercial point of view. It's got Sports Direct shit all over the place.
Commercial revenue's gone.
Puma.
What was it in that Swiss Ramble report thing? The commercial revenue's like just one of the lowest, like,
least surprised,
it's ever been. Even though it used to be one of the highest in the league.
Used to have fucking Adidas and like Northern Rock when it was a decent bank, and Brown Ale and Newcastle Breweries and all that, and now we've got fucking Wonga, Puma making with template shirts that they give to in Sunday league teams. And tacky fucking crap, you know.
The funniest thing was, well, everywhere, people were going, well, Wonga put the name back to St. James's. I guess fucking Mike Ashley must be fucking genius.
He is. He's been paid so many millions of pounds to put back what he got rid of in the first place.
Okay,
fucking hell. Fucking mint. It's like having a massive shit in somebody's front garden and then getting paid for fucking taking it away.
It's a fucking, I honestly didn't get the fucking mentality of some people there that don't know what they're talking about, or they've got fucking mental issues. But anyway,
I think it's a certain one.
Moving on, I won't be buying the fucking Wonga top or anything with Wonga on.
Wonga.
Just like I won't be buying any Sports Direct stuff. Just not because of, as I say, not necessarily because of the brand, just because the stuff's shit.
Wonga.
Shite, man.
Wonga.
But I liked Willy Wonga, who dived into the coffin. He's out.
Willy Wonga, right.
That was fucking shite.
That twat.
Wonga.
Right, he did it for a reason, and that fucking reason was, you know, there, so I thought it was funny, mate. I thought it was good.
Wonga.
Shut up, you.
You finished.
Wonga.
Read Twitter.
Are you having a stroke?
Twitter questions. Sandro Gaggi is...
Who's this, Sandro Gaggi?
Actually, we'll not read
Sandro. Everybody running.
The boy, he score hat-trick. Right, well,
fucking hell, it's fucking Saddam Hussein.
Who's this Saddam Gaggi? Anyway, moving on. Twitter questions. Tino's Bongos at TB_UK99. Pardew finally found out as a chancer who had one very lucky season? Question mark.
That's not a question.
Wait. It's a statement with a question mark.
Has Pardew been found out? Is that the question?
Has
Pardew finally
right
been found out as a chancer? Did he have one very lucky season?
Right, okay, that makes more sense now.
Well, I've just reworded the question. Verbatim, I copied it.
Yes. Yes.
Think so?
Do you want to expand on that? Yes, or just
yes, he's a fucking chancer, and yes, last season was the exception and not this one. Based on his record at every other club where he's been, he has one good season
apart
and everything else.
Turgid.
What happened to Southampton?
Well,
he got the boot.
Well, allegedly shagging a player's wife before going to dodgy territory there.
I thought that was when he was at West Ham.
No, it was at Southampton. Putting the dick into somebody.
I'm going to Google that.
You can see a picture of his of
sure there was
the,
rumours
the
when
he was supposed
at,
to be shagging. Just kind of nice, like, to be fair.
Fucking hell, Paul Shit died from Heidi High. If ever there was
Pardew
a 1970s
affair, football. West Ham.
Nah.
Football manager Alan Pardew had an extramarital affair with a young Liverpool singer, Natalie Reeves, for some months in 2006.
He must have a history of it then. Try for the Southampton.
What's the subject line of that email? Alan Pardew anyway. Stole my wife.
Alan Pardew stole my wife.
Oh. He does look
like something from the front
bastard,
of them. You know them women's magazines. I had sex with a ghost in that. Alan Pardew stole my wife.
Isn't that something off the front of Daily Sport?
No, I know what you mean.
Freddie Starr ate my hamster.
Alan Pardew had sex with my ghost wife.
Who's my ghost? That's the no, Gaz is on about, you know, the mags you get at the front of where the fucking trolley dollies sit. And you just stand there and you...
Trolley dollies? The stewardesses?
Yeah, what are trolley dollies? Fucking some dollies, man.
That's life.
Till dollies, whatever they're called out of there.
Fucking it was take, very nice take a break and all that, man.
Take a shit.
Stabbed while I was having a turd or whatever.
My husband had four legs and I never knew. Stuff like that. Now, that was the sport. So, anyway, Pardew, yes, you're a chancer. Well,
you're a chancer, if you're listening.
I doubt he is. Sam,
fucking at devastating for him if he is, isn't it?
Sam at Yorkshire_mag. Do you think Anita is poking Mrs. Pardew? He must be. Why else does Dan Gosling play over a Dutch international?
he has to be. It's the
he's
only
got a
answer.
Good point, to be fair. Like
Dan Gosling and, to be fair, James Perch. Getting the game ahead of you. Like, I like Perch, and I actually think he's a good defensive midfielder. In fact, one of the better ones. But something has to be amiss with Anita, like, because every time I've seen him play, he just looks tidy.
He just looks absolutely
neat and tidy.
Comfortable on the ball and, you know, doesn't really put a foot wrong.
Sylvain Morveau effect.
Just a strange situation. The whole thing's very strange. So, Pork and Pardew's misses?
Possibly. Allegedly, I don't know. Maybe. No concrete evidence of that. But I do think he's got two good names, Vernon and Anita.
Vernon is definitely an underused name, like, isn't it? It's a name you never hear in football. Like, you never hear people call Clive or Derek anymore. Or Jeff.
But for me, Vernon and Anita are like your two middle-aged neighbours, aren't they? Just having Vernon and Anita around for cheese and crackers and some Merlot.
So other than
whatever that is.
Merlot.
Other than Arthur Boric, which I'm not going to allow, can you think of it? Who's the last footballer in the Premier League called Arthur? That's what's wrong with football these days.
What about the Colin question? Did you get that one? Colin question.
There's not enough beautiful British names as, what do you call him, would call it?
It's a beautiful British name.
What's he called again, that daft comedian?
Al Murray.
Al Murray, aye. Not enough British names. Clive. Clive Mendonca. He's probably the last Clive to play in the Premier League, wasn't he? Malcolm Slayer. Malcolm and Malcolm Slayer. The best type. If you're going to have to be
open
a Malcolm...
Malcolm, close brackets. Slayer.
If you're going to have to be a Malcolm, at least be a Malcolm Slayer as well, just to make up for it. Like two wrongs making a right.
Two wrongs making a Tommy right.
Great. Moving on. Quickly. David Furness at Fawn Ace 1977.
That's great.
It's an old favourite, but after last summer, who should we and indeed will we buy in the close season?
Rooney, apparently, according to Mike Ashley's news website, that nobody had heard of until they wrote that article about.
Strange
Rooney.
That, isn't it?
Funny that, isn't it?
Mickey Rooney.
Oh, wait. Mickey Rooney, aye. Get him in. You do your job.
Good in the air. Good in the air, I mean like a trolley dolly, you know? It's quite a little squeeze in.
What's with all the trolley dollies?
Trolley dollies, aye, Robbo.
Trolley dollies on the brain. who we're going to buy at? I don't know.
Let's
Billy Whitehurst.
Narrow it to Joe Allen. Let's narrow it
no,
to
not Billy. That fucker.
Not that desperate.
How this addressing room would be, can he?
I don't know, Colin Montgomery.
Well, let's take it a little bit serious. What about positional wise?
Centre half to replace Colo.
If he
definitely.
Goes.
Well,
midfielder
when he
replace
goes.
Goodbye.
Aye.
When he goes.
Striker to replace Cisse. Striker to replace Barr.
Lunatic 1970s, 80s actor to replace
Jonas.
No, pirate to replace Jonas.
Aladdin to replace Jonas.
Argentinian Mormon to replace Colaccini. Mormon, not moron. With a beard. I don't know, and do you know what it is? I don't really care yet.
Nah, I can't even be bothered.
Let's get
think
the season
about
out and then let's find out. But we do need to buy some players, obviously. We do need to stop playing, some players in the right position, as we've already mentioned. Right, next one. Suvik Roy Chowdhury. Sorry if I didn't pronounce that right. At Suvik.
Sorry, there seems to be a problem with Robbo's auto cue.
Shite seats, take an interview from a Newcastle fan in India like me.
What?
Take an interview, man, you're fucking blind.
That's what I said, take an interview.
No, this lad wants a...
oh, right, he wants to be on the podcast.
He wants to be on the podcast.
You want to be on the podcast, right.
Next one.
Right, we'll try and arrange something.
Send your email address to info@shiteseats.co.uk.
And then we'll phone you live on the podcast.
Let's do it.
We are.
Be like... Steve One Phone Wraith.
Doing an interview show with a.
Doing, his, one doing phone an entire talk in with a fucking Nokia 3310.
Handing it room.
We'll have to do it from Seats HQ though, won't we? So,
Technologic.
Right, James Little at Little NUFC.
Little NUFC?
You may have been asked this, but how long do you think Pardew will get next season? 10 games? Question mark. Seems fair, right?
We're all assuming here that he actually remains in charge, though.
That would piss me right off if he got 10 games and got the bootleg. Because it's just another season wasted, isn't it?
Pointless, isn't it?
If you're going to boot him after 10 games, you might as well boot him now. Or don't boot him at all.
What happens if he has a good start of the season, though?
Well, then you keep him. You don't boot him at all.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So if you're saying he's had a bad season now, if you're going to boot him...
No, I mean, you have to do these things in the close season. You cannot afford to do what we've done in the past.
I know.
Did it with Hullet, did it with Dalglish, did it, I'm sure we've done it since. Bobby went after, what, 7 or 8 games?
The only one that...
You ruined the rest of that season.
The only one that we didn't do was Allardyce, wasn't it? Where it was after the season had finished, Rhoda got the...
That's right,
got
he got the boot with a couple of games to Gann. Rhoda.
Yeah.
There was two games left.
I think it was one game.
We went to Watford, didn't we? We were absolutely dog shit. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew Allardyce was being appointed.
Yeah.
We all live in a black and white tent. That's what that was. That one when the promotion flag from 1992 reappeared for some reason in Watford.
Didn't go missing that day.
I think it might have done. Some bloke nearly suffocated in it. He jumped in the middle of it while they were wrapping it up, and then they just kept wrapping it up. And then before you knew it, the people started to panic a little bit because he hadn't moved in about 2 minutes. So then there was a proper panic. Everybody's like tearing at it to try and get the bloke back out, and then he just kind of rose from the dead when they finally found
him. Like,
he's not dead. He's not dead. He's not dead.
So, Pardew, no point in sacking him after 10 games.
Tangent and a half. No, don't give him any. Either sack him the whole
either
season.
Get rid of him now or. Just let him fucking fuck it up again next
Rot.
Year.
Right, now this is Bleff, who usually sends us questions, Bleffuscu74, and it seems to be like multiple questions. I'll ask the first one. Is Anita really just an expensive garden gnome?
The thing with garden gnomes is that you normally see them out on grass somewhere.
So no, we've just obviously been bigging him up, saying he needs to get a game. So no, I don't think so. Maybe Pardew thinks he is, but we certainly don't. Shit, that was tight. A new striker, but who?
Well, already said I'd go back for Carroll.
Yeah, he'd come, I think, and I think he'd take a pay cut to come back as well.
Just to, like we said, mix it up. Have somebody different up there.
Right. Okay.
What about you?
And that's the.
These are too football-y, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think we need a few weeks off before we start thinking about next season, because this one's been so soul-destroying that I can't even be bothered to think about what's going to happen next.
The only thing I'll be interested in, and like I said, the only thing I'm interested in football-wise is, so Man United have got a new manager. Man City are going to get a new manager. Chelsea are potentially going to get a new manager. Everton are getting a new manager. And if we dick Arsenal, there's a potential that they could get a new manager. So I'm kind of interested in that and how the managerial dynamic will change in the Premier League. But player-wise, I just don't know. I'd like to think we could give we could possibly give some lads in the lower leagues a chance. Half decent lads, like. So,
I think Jordan Rhodes might be a decent shout.
Players like that, Pope, in the lower leagues.
The Pope.
So on his top Pope and players like that who've been banging them in. Oh, not the Pope.
Bless you, father.
I didn't want another Argentinian in the team. giving some of these younger lads a go in the squad, and if you're going to have squad players, and if you're not going to do the academy thing, then do that. You know, look what happened with Lafondre. You know, the guys, the Redden gave him a chance, and he, you know, he won a player, to, play, well, their player, the Premier League player of the month, didn't he?
Substitute of the season.
Players like that, they need a chance. They could fail miserably, but you know, you don't have to get them. You don't have to do the Ashley thing and get them on 25-year contracts. Just get them on a couple of year contracts.
Leon Best.
He'd be worth a punt. Leon Best. Definitely worth a punt.
Who is this Leon Best you speak of?
He's mint.
Is he?
He scores hat tricks when you don't expect him doing that.
He scores hat tricks and earns you a fortune.
Oh shit.
Hello.
Testing.
Got an incident.
No.
Robbo's seller taped his headset together a la Jack Duckworth and it's just fell off.
I think he got shocked at remembering the money that he won on Leon Best's hat trick.
I think so, man. I think it's because you mentioned, you know, my husband shagged a ghost. I think one just flicked it up my fucking headset off my ear. Anyway, right, moving on. Taff. Taffy Free.
Taff!
So I'm a bit full of real Ruby Murray in her. I'm a bit short this month and don't get paid till the 28th. How much will it be to buy the new strip of the Wonga loan?
Well, hold on a minute.
Oh.
Let's take this real time tough and
sliders. Right, hold on. Wonga.com. How much cash do you want?
He wants
50 quid in it.
50 nigger in it.
I say put 50
just
quid.
One name and number on. We put 60. We'll get Goofron on the back.
Goofran ran.
How long for?
Wolves fan Finkelberg.
Two weeks.
2 weeks.
Total to replace £75.19.
So there you go. If you borrow 60 quid off Wonga over 2 weeks, you will have to pay back £75.
What happens if he doesn't pay it back within 2 weeks?
I don't know. I'm going to have to read the FAQs
on
Wonga.com. I never thought I'd see this day. Fucking hell. Getting a sweat on already.
Why the fuck would anybody use these fucking sites, man?
I don't know. There's the fuck.
What happens if I don't repay
me loan?
We send a fucking bailiffs round and cut your fucking cock off.
I can't run and cut you.
What happens if I don't repay my loan?
Break your fucking legs, cats.
Oh, if our early morning collection attempt is declined by your bank because you haven't ensured there are enough funds available, we'll do our best to contact you throughout the day. If we still haven't received full repayment by 5 p.m. on the promised date, you will incur a £20 missed payment fee. So that takes it up to 95 nigger if you don't pay on time.
So be warned. Is that each day or...?
Interest will continue to accrue on your balance for up to 60 days if we can't reach a fair agreement. So basically, if you can't agree with them, they'll just keep adding money on.
Lots and lots of it.
Fantastic.
In a nutshell, please don't apply for a loan if you think you might struggle to pay it back in full and on time. It's really not worth the potential consequences. That's what it says on the Wonga website.
Well, they're giving you the SP, you know, they're not bullshitting you. So.
You know what, in all seriousness, they couldn't possibly make it any more clear what's going to happen if you don't pay it back.
It's true, like.
Or you could just not fucking buy the top because it's horrible. And spend your money on your loved ones or something
like that.
That is loved ones.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
For that, you could probably go out and get Puma to design you one. Seeing as how cheap and fucking shit they are, you get them a ring, get a personalised one for that price.
Get them fucking
made
kit,
in over
kit bag or something
good
like that.
Question,
and you'll be able to find the fucking
one we've answered actually correct
for once. You'll be able to find the generic template somewhere. Get a fucking sew on badge and then just make it yourself.
So the next two are kind of linked to the ones we already had. That's Daniel Hayes, first name Daniel. And Adam Cowan.
I think we've already mentioned
second name
2326 Cowan 12H. No,
haven't we already mentioned that first name Daniel is a really good Twitter name? I like that. Like
at some point, I think.
So Daniel says, "What's Pardew's problem with Anita?" And Adam Cowan says, "Where the bloody hell is Anita? Is he in your Aaron cupboard?"
Yes, he is.
So I don't know. Actually, has anyone's?
I think he's been.
Has anyone seen Anita?
He's been fronting his.
Have you seen Anita? Hashtag.
Excuse me, have you seen Evita?
Have you seen Anita? I think he's
someone
busy.
Needs to Photoshop a Anita onto an Evita photo. Post, Alec.
No, Anita Dobson.
I think he's been fronting his
Anita
P. Diddy. Have you seen it? He's a doppelganger of P. Diddy.
Actually, he is a bit, isn't he?
Yeah.
P. Dizzle.
Puff Daddy, whichever one you want to fucking call.
Puff Daddy was much better name than P. Diddy, though, honestly. How can you be called Puff?
You're calling my dad a Puff.
No, he was called Puff, and he changed his name, and he sounds even more gay now than P. Diddy. Hello, my name's Puff. Well, that's a little bit puffy, but there you go.
Spew, did he?
P. Diddy. Did he spew, did he?
That's where it comes from, right? You got that, don't you? Fucking hell. Quick as fuck. Right.
What?
I don't think we've got much more to talk about, to be honest. We're done. Unless there's something you want to talk about. Anything? Nothing? No? Yes?
I'm pretty just fed up with this fucking season, so...
Final time for the season, then. What's the predictions going to be for us versus Arsenal and Spurs versus...
I wouldn't really care if we got beat 4-0.
Well, I thought we was tired, actually, and...
blame Europe.
Yeah, we was short of a few players and short of a little bit, so I think the 4-0... The 4-0 defeat was a little bit harsh, actually. I think we'll get beat 4-0 after his comments the other day. It's almost guaranteed, isn't it?
What do you reckon, Matty?
Fuck it. I reckon we'll play probably the best we've played all season, and we'll go and fucking 2-1 or something.
So we'll only lose 3-0.
Aye, exactly.
I'm going to say it's going to be ones each, and Spurs are going to beat the Backhams, and Spurs are going to keep our last Champions League place.
And therefore, the North East Top Dogs trophy will have no winner for another season, eh?
Sad cunts.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Right, okay, thanks for listening. Do appreciate the crack and friendship we've had this season. Remember, if you're listening through iTunes, leave some feedback. Good feedback. If you're going to leave bad feedback, don't bother.
Just make sure if you're going to leave bad feedback, put 5 stars anyway.
Aye. And then,
put some what you want in text, but nobody gives a toss.
Make
it an in-joke. No, but these are all current or something.
But you can always listen to it. Give some feedback. If there's anything you want to say in the podcast, let me know. I've had quite a... I wouldn't say a fun, but I've had quite a decent season, I think. Being a fan and having the crack at the match. There's been some things to cheer about. Unfortunately, football hasn't been one of them.
We've drank a canny bit of beer, me and you, Robbo.
It's been all right.
I've had a quiet one this year. It's been a bit shit.
I think we've made up for the shitness by partying. Either hard before and or after.
I keep going home in a fucking proper massive huff. Yeah. I'm so depressed at how shite everything is.
See, you're going home to see a proper massive puff.
Aye. That's why I've gone back to yours.
Hey! Right, anyway, as normal for the summer months, the site will be going down from this Sunday morning. But we'll obviously still be on Twitter, so you can get us through the summer. We're thinking about a midsummer podcast, if you'll be asked. But we'll let you know if that's coming
out. Probably have barbecue and some beers or something. Just for shits and giggles.
Maybe some sort of...
We need to do this outside broadcast.
Something,
it would be
something different, but we are going to try and do something outside broadcast, say a Hotspur, Strawberry, like we've mentioned before. But keep an eye out for our traditional end-of-season video, which is in the making as we speak. And this video will be available on the front page of the website during its downtime. So, keep the faith, keep a hold, away lads. Much peace and love. If we didn't see you on Sunday, have a lovely and safe football-free summer. Adios, amigos.
Adios.
Hasta luego.